You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left. Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup! Lightning strikes twice! The Tampa Bay Lightning win their second straight Stanley Cup!
Hello everybody and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jay Bricker. Alongside me, it's Jose Vaccaro and Nick Porcelli joining us for the second time here on RBR Lightning. Unfortunately, Matt could not be with us. He's dealing with some sickness, but he'll be back soon. Hopefully, he feels better. Shout out to Matt if you're watching out there with us right now. But, guys, welcome back. We got a fun episode, this one live right after the Lightning just beat the Florida Panthers, so it should be a fun night to talk about all that and all the other stuff that went on this week. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Sounds like Matt might have a case of the Mondays. Actually, I know. I'm pretty sure you get your ass kicked for saying something like that. Just joking, guys. Wow. Speaking of getting their asses kicked, so glad that we're doing this right after the Panther game because that was an amazing high. I wouldn't say it felt like a playoff game, but you could tell that that was a significant rivalry. And I'm really excited to get into this one. And Nick, good to have you on, man. How you doing?
Here, I feel the exact same way. I am so much happier that we are talking after a win like that compared to the game before. But man, what a game. That has got to be the best game of the year so far. It has to be.
It's definitely up there. By the way, Matt is watching. He said, I feel like the Panthers right now. Oh boy, the shots have started early at the Florida Panthers. Well, it was a series split 1-1. So we welcome everybody in, by the way, joining us live. Don't forget, if you want to join the conversation, throw some comments down in the comment section below. We'll try to get them up here on screen, talk about them. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. If you're new here, welcome. Welcome in. If you're coming back, welcome back. Don't forget to follow us at RBR Lightning, at RBLR Sports, so you don't miss out on future episodes just like this one. You can ring that bell for notifications, too, because, you know, episodes like this, these are ones you're going to want to watch. So for the rundown quickly of the show, we're going to be recapping the Panthers game from tonight. We'll kind of talk about the last Panthers game as those two kind of go together. I'll recap some of the older games as well with the Columbus Blue Jackets and St. Louis Blues. So going a little backwards there, but then we'll take a look at our three stars of the week, and then we'll look ahead for the Lightning in their schedule after the Christmas/holiday break. So that's what we got on tap for you. And I say, no more delaying, guys. Let's jump into it. Lightning beat the Florida Panthers by a final score of 4-0. And hang on, stay with me on this. Jonas Johansson picks up the shutout. Congratulations to him. A very well-played game, well-deserved. He's been playing a lot better as of late. But the Lightning get a big bounce-back win after losing to the Panthers just the night before at Amalie Arena.
It really feels like, you know, I was saying Jonas had a really bad game, obviously, against Columbus. What was that? On the 21st of November, pulling up his stats. that's a good quote to come up. That's how you declaw a fur ball. Yeah. And he did a really good job of making sure that, you know, they were declawed. They didn't have any chances to put the puck in the net. But, you know, he struggled against, you know, in that Columbus game, and I feel like his goals against average has been really unfairly weighed on his performance in the season because I don't think he had a good defense in front of him for, you know, a couple of those games. He had 2 5 goal against performances, and I've been, you know, decently vocal trying to defend him where he didn't have defense backing him up on those. The seven goal game, yeah, that was kind of on him, but seeing him, you know, have a couple of additional performances where he did play well. In the last 3 games now, he has a 0.935 save percentage, 0.955, and batting 1,000 tonight with a perfect shutout. He's played well in the last 4 or 3 games to really answer back from that poor showing that he had about a month ago.
you gotta feel good for a guy when that happens to a man. I mean, especially after, you know, giving up 7 goals, you always get worried when you got to put that guy in, but you have to, because you can't rely on Vassy every game. So to see that, it's got to get his confidence up. And, you know, it's just, I mean, at the same time, it's a guy who doesn't get to play as much. So you can't not just be happy for the guy. And the fact that, of course, it's against your biggest rival, that just makes it so much better. And I did find this out. Apparently, this is the first time the Lightning have shut out the Panthers in their building since 2015 when Ben Bishop did it. So
that's a pretty cool stat.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's usually lots of goals are being scored in these two matchups when you get two rival teams battling it out. This game felt like the classic Sunshine State showdown that we've seen in the past with these two teams that do not like each other, and rightfully so. I know the fan bases get a little chippy themselves when they're battling them. Speaking of chippiness, I do want to talk about this in this game. We had the Nikita Kucherov play where he got a 5-minute major and a 10-minute game misconduct for knee on Matthew Tkachuk, and he went down. Tkachuk was visibly hurt and struggled to get back to the bench. He did later come back in this game, so no major injury is apparent. He seemed to be fine, but Kucherov thrown out of the game. I want to get your guys' opinions on this hit, because from mostly what I've seen on the Twitterverse, now that's only one part of the world, keep in mind, you know, of course, Lightning fans are defending it. Panthers fans hate it. I think the middle of the pack, though, people have said they're leaning more towards it wasn't dirty. But let's get your thoughts on this. For me personally, guys, I don't love it. Listen, I know the Panthers are not a nice team either, and there's a lot of, like, you know, Lightning fans are bringing up some of the plays from Tkachuk in the past where he checked Kucherov into the boards and cross-checked him when he was down on the ice. I don't think it was intentional, obviously, but it definitely felt like to me Kucherov, you know, he saw that, you know, Tkachuk taking a vulnerable position and you get that knee-on-knee contact. It's something you just can't do. I think it's a rightful penalty. I think it's the right penalty. It's the right call. But what are your guys' thoughts?
By all means, you can go first on it.
All right. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. You know, I will say, as the biased Lightning fan, it is hard not to see Tkachuk getting hit by Kucherov, a guy who he famously has, you know, in my opinion, given a lot of cheap shots over the years. That one famous one where he checks him straight into the board, high sticks him. At the same time, I agree, it's definitely a penalty. You can't be doing that. But I think the game misconduct, that's all you need. Like, I don't think there should be a suspension for this. Like, it doesn't look like he was trying to do anything intentional. Like, honestly, can I go on a bit of a rant here? Like, you were talking about going on Twitter.
Bring it.
I've been on Twitter, and some of the commentators I've seen, like, their responses, it's the biggest, like, I know I probably can't cuss on this. It's the biggest piece of crap, though, I've ever seen in my life. First of all, the Panthers guy, you just like, oh, it's clearly dangerous, clearly dangerous. And then the craziest one I saw is some dude up from Sportsnet, the Canadian broadcast, was just straight up just said on the broadcast, he's like, that's a gutless play by Kucherov. It's like, dude, he hit him in the knee. It's not like he hit him in the head and killed the guy. Like, calm down, okay? It's hockey. That this is it's an unfortunate play, but it's gonna happen. All right.
Good.
That's it. Yeah. That's all right. Get that off. Like, it's not the biggest.
I like that you said that he didn't hit him in the head. He hit him in the knee. When the way that he was leaning, if he would have tried and going through his body, the primary point of contact would have been his head. So the choice was Kucherov to play a little bit off the body. Was it completely clean? Like, at that speed, as he was leaning into it, did he know that he was going to go, you know, knee first? It's honestly really hard to say, because when you get down low like that, your knee naturally goes out. When you're skating, your knee is going to be out. As you take a forward stride, it comes out. As you lean and turn, your knee, you know, you should be in a crouched position. Your knee's going to be out. And he hit him. He didn't go technically knee to knee. He was like on the inside of his thigh. That's why he came back in the game and wasn't injured for weeks, is because it wasn't really a true knee on knee where you're breaking the guy's tendons and stuff. But if he would have cut more in, he would have made primary contact with Kachuk's head. But, you know, knowing Cooch, you know, with his tendencies to be a little bit dirty, I kind of lean towards, yeah, he took a little bit of a shady shot at him. At the same rate, like you said, this is hockey. You know, that's going to happen. We had one of our players injured the previous game on a trip that wasn't called. And what do? You, I mean, make a huge deal about it? And maybe he gets a game, whatever, and then we continue playing. And the reason I say that is because Kachuk's not going to be permanently injured from something like this. Now, if he was and he didn't come back and he's going to have surgery, you'd probably see my position change quite a bit. But he came back and played. We're fine. Let's go.
Yeah.
Him coming back is definitely good news for Kucherov on the suspension front, because they do take that into consideration if there is an injury on the play or if there is not. So I would expect him to have a hearing. I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't have one, whether he'll get a suspension or not. That's always hard to say. As we all know, the NHL Department of Player Safety tends to spin a wheel on these type of things. What it's going to land on.
I bet
on,
you he does.
Who knows? I would expect him to get a suspension, but again, with player safety, you just never know. How long it's going to be, again, that's really hard to guess there. But I'm with you guys. You know, listen, I don't think it was a great hit. And the thing that bothers me the most, I think, is because I know how good Kucherov is, and I hate seeing like a player like him get taken out of the game because of a hit that, I mean, I don't know if he could have completely avoided it. As you kind of mentioned, Joe, you're coming at the puck. You know, it's a bang-bang play. But I just hate seeing a guy getting thrown out of a game for that. And then possibly getting suspended further. Like, you don't, that's the guy you don't want to have off the ice.
And look, you see somebody that's Kachuk put himself in a vulnerable spot. And Kucherov's not the most physical player when it comes to checks. I mean, Eureka right now behind the scenes is throwing stats at us that we can put up here, which is awesome. It definitely helps us out when it comes to being able to talk about this from an educated point of view. But he doesn't necessarily go for really big hits. He had an opportunity here where he slid in, and instead of leaning more into it, he leaned out of it just a little bit. I mean, maybe even some of that's knowing that Kachuk can reverse hit you just as hard as you try hitting him, and ended up not going his way. But something that Eureka just fed us is that he has Kucherov has four major penalties in his career, and one of the ones I remember best was like that chop to the back of the knee on one of the players. I guess that was in, it must have been 2016, 2017. Maybe that wasn't one actually, because I thought it was much more recent than that. So, I mean, he does have a history, so there might be something there for Department of Player Safety to look at.
One thing I do want to point out, though, for all the people who are coming at Kucherov saying it was a dirty play, I expect you better be giving that same injury to Greer for the Panthers, because all the stuff he was trying to do, that cheap shot at the end, he was looking to start something the entire time. There was that one play, looked like he was trying to go for Icy Mott's head, and he would have if Icy Mott didn't duck and the dude didn't go into the boards, which, as a Lightning fan, that was hilarious. But I'm just saying, like, let's not act like it was just one dude. The entire team was just throwing shots at each other.
Yes, yeah, it looked like a complete inversion of what happened last night, in my opinion. The way that the game was controlled by the team that ended up getting the lead, and once that lead was established, it turned into, you know, much more physical play, and the team that had the lead ended up being able to close it out. Now, I will say that I'm really, really satisfied with how the Lightning were able to hold on to a shutout. I was avoiding saying that word or even saying the score when you know, people were asking for updates that were around me, but because they've really struggled when it comes to closing out games. But they did a brilliant job of closing this one out. And to be fair to the Panthers, the Panthers did a really good job of closing it out last night too.
If you're wondering what Matt thinks about the hit, I got it here for you. Yeah, clean hit, unfortunate result in my opinion. I'm not surprised Matt took that route.
What does he know? He's not even on the podcast.
I know. What the heck? This guy's not on the podcast. Just hang out in the comment section, dropping things. For those of you who are new, sometimes now there's the ding for Matt. We tend to take a little bit of friendly shots at each other when we're not on an episode. But comment here from Lisa as well. Greer didn't stop once the game was over. Yeah, that tends to happen when these two teams start going at it. They start going for a while. And, you know, it's something I've also noticed. The refs can never get these games under control. Because really, there's nothing you can do. Which, by the way, came from a hilarious or created a hilarious moment with John Cooper. I don't know if you guys caught this.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted to. I have that as a note.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So for those who may have missed it, what happened was it was early in the game. They were giving two roughing calls out, and Cooper thought they were going to do one of their classic, one guy gets a penalty, but the other one doesn't, because for whatever reason, the NHL and officials think that that's going to stop people because they're going to get a penalty out of this instead of just being a 4-on-4. It never works. It never does, and it's dumb. But anyway, I digress. And Cooper started to lose it visually. He was throwing his fists around. He was not happy. But very quickly, once he realized that they were calling penalties on both sides, he was like, oh, my bad. Sorry, guys. You're good to go. So, it was pretty funny. There was
the lawyer in him came out, I'd say, where he started apologizing, making peace with both sides. That was a really, I'm going to use a weird word as a male, I guess, as a really cute moment to see Cooper kind of back off of being really intense and being humble in the moment, knowing that he screwed up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's great to see personality like that. How often do you see, it must be why he's constantly rated as one of the top coaches that players want to play for.
100%. Yeah.
It's we got a funny moment out of it over on the Bolt Report. Michael posted saying that he made it a meme and said, when you open all your presents on Christmas, but you didn't get the one gift that you asked for from your parents, but then mom pulls out a surprise present out of the closet.
That's awesome. I gotta find that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. I gave him credit for that one. Sometimes Mike makes a little iffy jokes, but that one was a good one.
Yeah. Hey, before I don't want to move on, but from this game just yet, Nick, you had mentioned Icy.
There's a lot to talk about.
Oh, there's so much. Icy ducking a check, but I'll say that he didn't drop to his knees and low bridge. Who was it that he did that to? That was the guy that was stirring it up at the end of the game. Greer, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, he didn't drop to his knees and low bridge him a la Marchand. He just kind of lowered himself and, and laid like a hip-to-hip thing where he went over the top of him. It's a dirty play, but also makes people think twice about trying to hit somebody in a vulnerable position, because there's so many chances to hit guys vulnerably that were taken, including you might have to help me. It was one of the scrums, I believe, in the third period, where I want to say it was Chafee, but I could be wrong. Kind of had his head down and then got ran, and then there was like a whole big scrum that resulted from that one.
I think you're right. There were so many scrums in that game. They're all kind of a blur at this point.
Or Goncalves. Maybe been him. Because it was someone that, was like kind of a younger guy, a lower level guy. But then the team comes in and you wonder, is it really necessary if it's a clean hit to come in and have the extra altercation? But I think it is, and especially in a game like this, because if they're going to take those opportunities to try punishing a guy, you have to tell him that there's going to be repercussions for taking those opportunities.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, this is a rivalry game. You're going to have this stuff. It's going to get chippy. You're going to get some not so nice stuff. It's just the way these things go. You don't want to see dirty hits ever and guys get hurt. It's never a good thing, but you can't be surprised when this kind of stuff happens. Quickly, before we go to the other Panthers game, goal scorers, Kucherov, Gensel, Chafee, and Brandon Hagel. Those are your goal scorers. Gensel continues his hot streak over the last couple of games. We'll get to his goal streak when we recap some of the other games. Chafee, he's been really hot as of late. Good to see him. Hagel continuing to score at a great pace as well, even though that last one comes on an empty net. Empty net shorthanded goal too, by the way. Or that was the shorthanded goal, correct? Yes.
Empty net shorthanded goal.
Empty net shorthanded. So just a little
from the slot.
From across the ice, man. Give him credit.
Yes. But I mainly mentioned it just because you laugh a little bit because, of course, the night before where the Lightning played at Amalie Arena against the Florida Panthers, things did not go their way. Where the biggest note from that game, in their 4-2 loss to the Panthers, was the two shorthanded goals they gave up, which you might be thinking, all right, well, that stinks. You know, shorthanded goals happen. No, on the same power play, they gave up two shorthanded goals on the same power play. That was really the difference maker. It was a 1-1 game after the first period, thanks to a Nick Paul goal, which he scored with 4 seconds left. And then the two shorthanded ones in the second period, and point scores one in the third. A really nice goal, by the way. Lightning got some chances, but the Panthers kept it off with an empty net. So tough game, but that power play was abysmal on that night. Too many turnovers at center ice.
Really sucks to point the finger at Vasi, because the first shorthanded goal against, he just didn't have his glove in the right position. He literally had it turned over in a way that he couldn't use the catcher portion of his glove, and it burnt him on like a kind of a silly backhander, just putting it to the net. You know, as the saying goes, I believe it's Gretzky, you know, 100% of the shots that you don't take won't go in. Is that the way that one is? He just kind of threw out the net.
Some of the shots you don't take.
Beautiful. And that was a primo example of that. Even on an elite goaltender like Vasilevsky, they're going to make mistakes, and he did. And unfortunately, that was the turning point in the game.
I will say this too quickly before you go, Nick. That play where Vasi lit up that one that sneaked by him, there was also a Panthers player that was coming screaming down the middle of the ice. So I was actually surprised that they even went for the shot on a tough shot like that. That ended up slipping by Vasilevsky and working, but there was a good chance he would have thrown it off in the middle of the ice and passed it, and they could have scored that way too. So just a disastrous play altogether on that power play, on that first one.
Yeah, it just really sucks that that's how they lost, because, and I think even Cooper said this in the post game, like he thought, like I thought that they kind of, I don't know if you want to say outplayed them, but like they, you know, I thought they were the better team 5-on-5. Like they did really well. They were tied 1-1. That second goal was great. It's just those two goals, one of which, the first one I would say is a little fluky, you know, it just sucks, but in a weird way, it makes me a lot more impressed with the win they just pulled off tonight. And in my opinion, it shows like the difference between the team that they are this year compared to the last 2 years. Because I got to be honest, if this was last year's team, I don't think they win this game, or not like this at the very least. I think they're relying on goaltending and maybe hanging on if they get a win. But to lose like that, giving up two shorthanded goals, and then immediately you have to go play on the road, you know, that's got to destroy the guys' minds. But for them to come out like this and win 4-0, like not just beat, dominate these guys, that shows incredible character, incredible fight, incredible skill, and just makes me so impressed with this team, and just makes me happy that I get to call them the guys that I cheer for.
Yeah, it is interesting. You never know how guys are going to respond, and maybe they were pissed off just from the end of last game, and they took that into this one. You know, sometimes you respond in a way that the adversity makes you play even better. I gotta say, you know, we brought up a few times the new NHL.com ability to show the play-by-play when you have a goal summary. It's the goal visualizer setting. I didn't even realize until you had mentioned it, Jake, which isn't, you know, usually my thing is noticing something like that is Mikkola, the defenseman coming in, that was going to be wide open if he had put that... Yeah, all alone, all by himself. I didn't even see that as part of a play. So that there was a secondary breakdown in addition to that. That's a big risk taken that way too. Because if it goes the other way, it's a 3-on-1 for the power play team. But you know, obviously, it worked out for the Panthers.
To be fair, the only reason I noticed it because I was in the press box and you got a much wider view.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
It was not my point in doing that, but okay. We're going to have to add a ding for me mentioning the press box. but I noticed it because I was up there and you could see more of a higher angle, and he was also hitting his stick pretty hard, calling for it, which is what caught me off guard when the goal went in, because I thought for sure that pass was going back to him. It didn't, ended up going in anyway. But Nick, to your point, Cooper did talk about how he didn't use the word dominate or anything like that, but he basically just said this game was lost on special teams. Because don't forget, not only the two shorthanded goals, but they gave a power play goal as well. They were taking way too many penalties in the first period, and they gave a power play goal. So three of the Panthers' 4 goals came on special teams, and the last one, of course, being an empty net. So basically all three goals that they scored were on special teams, and that was the difference in this game. Other than that, they played well. I will also say that something they talked about in the locker room, Nick, you mentioned about being pissed off and then having to go play on the road. They did say, because one of the common questions that was asked was this an advantage or disadvantage that you now have to go right back on the road to play the Panthers? And Cooper said he kind of thought about it for a minute and said he kind of looks at it as a little bit of an advantage because at least, you know, when you have those kinds of losses with the two shorthanded goals, you hate to sit on it for a while and it kind of, you know, sits in your mind and you can't get that bad taste out of your mouth. At least the Lightning had the opportunity to get out there and right their wrongs, which they did in this game. So maybe it does kind of seem like it worked out almost as an advantage for him.
I do want to ask, I don't know if Cooper brought this up in the post game also, but do you think, obviously the team played the way they did super hard because they just don't like each other. It's a rivalry game. But do you think they were also pissed off? Do you remember that hit? I think it was Hagel that he took right at the end that led to the empty net goal. He like got checked into the boards. He was bleeding, no call. Is there any mention of that? Or
Cooper did not talk about it, but I will say we were hoping to get Hagel for the one of the guys to come out for the post game interview, and he was not available because he was getting repairs to his face. So he definitely got hit up high, and he had to go get checked out. But no mention it from the press. The press conference was pretty short. Obviously, guys were frustrated and had to get on the road. So there's only three questions on that one.
Yeah. Oh man, I didn't even. I had my own game on last night. I didn't even see that he got dinged up at the last moment because I had started stepping on with like just a couple of moments, I think, left in the game. I didn't even see that play.
There were a couple of guys that got dinged up. Hagel did. Paul had to go get something checked out, I believe, as well. Geeky, of course, got hurt Geeky, yeah. When Knight tripped him, definitely tripped him right into the boards.
How that's not a call. I mean, that was intentional. I know you can't take a second look at it, and maybe in the moment it didn't look like it, but man, that's I gotta say though, in terms of the NHL as a whole, it is pretty awesome to have such a heated rivalry and have two teams play each other so hard. That is like last game was a pretty intense game for, you know, the first period. I would say this game was really intense. The Panthers just couldn't figure a way to get high-risk scoring chances in it. The Lightning played defensively pretty well, but it looks really good for Florida hockey, which, you know, is pretty cool for a franchise that wasn't supposed to make it in the first place.
Yeah.
There's nothing, what we saw tonight, you're not going to see that in any of the other four major sports. That's just a hockey thing, the way they play, and that's what we saw tonight, that's something I'll point to people who don't watch hockey to try to convince them to watch a sport.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Matt's got a comment here. He's trying to still be part of the show, apparently.
Getting ready to get to the comments. This is a funny one from Matt. What's more embarrassing, shutout by Johansson or 0-for-4 on extended power plays? I don't know. They're both pretty bad. I'm gonna go with plays, but
the power plays. That was that was a scary moment because I really thought that could have been a turning point for the Panthers if they snuck one in and they just got that like a sniff of fresh air, like they could start to breathe a little bit. That really could have inspired them to come back in this game by keeping them 0-4 on the power play. That might be the biggest thing that the Lightning did in order to win this game.
Listen, if you're a Panthers fan, you can't excuse the loss. You had a 5-minute penalty. Lightning didn't have their best offensive player in Kucherov, and you lost. You can't make excuses.
Hedy was in the box.
Yeah.
You had a lot of guys out. Both these teams for both these losses can't excuse their losses. Both teams that won those games, rightfully so. Comment here from Lisa as well, asking, has anyone said anything about Geeks, otherwise known as Geeky? So the official update from the team is he's day-to-day. I believe he could have played today if he really wanted to, but obviously after being banged up yesterday, you don't want to throw him out in a game like this where there's so much physicality. Probably not good for him because I was mentioning he did come back in the game against the Panthers at Amalie. He took a shift, and he did not look 100%. And after the whistle had blown, he went to the bench, was kind of hunched over. So you could clearly tell something was bothering him a little bit. Doesn't look like it's anything major. He's just day to day. I would expect him to be back after this break. So good news on Geeky there. I think this was more of just a precautionary to leave him out against the Florida Panthers, especially in a heated rivalry game like this.
I didn't even realize it until you just mentioned it. There is a little bit of a break, 4 days off because of Christmas. Yeah,
the Christmas holiday break, which is the NHL, I believe, is now or has been for a while. They're one of the only sports that do that. Baseball, obviously, off in the off season, but football's got their Christmas Day games now, and so does the NBA. But Lightning still, or hockey still has that nice little break, which I think is great for people in the holidays. And I know it's fun to watch sports during Christmas or whatever it is, but it's nice that they do get that break. So we got a lot more to get to, so I want to jump to a couple of the other games as well. So those are your two big games against the Panthers. You would have maybe, you know, liked to get the 4 points, obviously, to start catching up on the Panthers, but hey, splitting against them, never a bad thing. Lightning still have plenty of games in hand when it comes to the standing situation. Let's quickly go over these two games for the Lightning that they played before these, which against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Lightning win this one by a final score of 5-3. Glendening, Paul, Gensel, Chafee, and Point are your goal scorers in this one. Chafee again, then another guy that I mentioned, Nick Paul and Gensel, all those guys been playing extremely, extremely well. Guys, you know, a pretty well-controlled game for the most part for the Lightning. That second period, which we've talked about before, that's been a little bit of an issue for them, but they get the job done and win this one by a final score of 5-3.
Sorry, you said Blue Jackets, not Blues. We're going to the Blue Jacket game.
Correct. Yes, the Blue Jackets.
All right. Yeah. Honestly, I thought that was a pretty fun game to watch, especially because of the help that we got from other lines. You know, seeing Chafee score was absolutely awesome. And then Nick Paul was a beast on the goal that he had. And Glendening getting to the front of the net and tipping a puck. I mean, you just don't. That was from Perbix and Lilleberg with the assists. That's not guys that usually are putting up points. So we got a lot of contributions from other people that are in the lineup, and that's something that the Lightning really have actually been doing pretty well with, considering the way last year was.
Yeah, I agree. That was a game that showed me just the depth of this team. We didn't have to rely on the first line like we have in past years. I will say, watching this game, Blue Jackets definitely did give us a scare at the end there, but it was nice to see the team hold on and be able to finish them out on the road. And it was also cool to see, we got to bring this up, obviously, Gensel extend his goal streak to 7. Shame he could not break the record at 8 in the next game. I'm sure we'll talk about that, but that to me just showed, hey man, what a great pickup in the offseason. I've loved watching this guy ever since he's joined this team.
Gensel's been fantastic. A little slow, I think, starting, which is to be expected. You're joining a brand new team. Yeah, it's really tough to do, but ever since then, he has been absolutely, and even wasn't even that long that it took him to get going, but he's been great. No question about it. Anytime you can score a 7-game goal streak and be one away from tying the franchise record, it says a lot about what he can do, especially 5-on-5, which is what the Lightning brought him in to help, because that was their biggest issue last year, was that 5-on-5 play. I thought that was a funny comment there from Matt, too, as well. Flashbacks to 2019 in the middle of that second period when things got a little dicey. Yeah, it definitely did. But, hey, they held on and got the win. So not every game is going to be perfect. Those things are going to happen. You do kind of pay attention to the second period issues that Lightning have had over, you know, a couple of these games. But as long as they can clean it up in the long run, not too much to be worried about. Joe, I saw you smirking over there in my Gensel comments.
I mean, I just think that he's been playing pretty well. That's all. And considering that the Lightning have the best goals for record, or best goal for average in the NHL, you know, there's been so many haters that were trash talking the trade and feeling like the team betrayed Stamkos and all that, and everything that Gensel's been able to provide for this team, and everything that helped the team get better by not having Stamkos, I think, has really come to fruition at this point. And this isn't a trash Stamkos moment. It's really just what a brilliant move it was by JBB to be able to make the trades that he did, including getting Geeky in the offseason. But we're just shy. You know, we were, you know, before the Panthers season series, right at a four goals average. Like going into that one, now we're at 3.9375 goals for per game, which is a huge amount of goals. And you lose Steven Stamkos, but we're able to make up for it by having guys get hot that happen to have been on Stamkos's line before. Like Cirelli suddenly is playing with guys, almost exclusively played with Stamkos, and now he's playing so much better without him. And again, this isn't a bashing Stamkos moment. This is really just how impressive the team is playing offensively when you lose such an offensive leader like we had. And Gensel's been a really huge part of that, and it's exciting as hell. I'm not going to lie. Differential is plus 36 for this team. That is insane, and I love it, and I'm really excited for it.
JBB said he wanted to fix the 5-on-5 issues. So far, yeah, he absolutely has. Gensel's been fantastic, and I'll stand by that. Listen, I never had an issue with Gensel. My biggest thing was the way the Stamkos situation was handled. But Gensel's been fantastic. There's no question about that. So it's been great to see. Hopefully he continues to play how good he's been playing. It doesn't slow down anytime soon because it's been great, and the Lightning definitely seem like a better team, no question about it. As it's still early in the season, but good start to that so far for him. We mentioned, unfortunately, Gensel did not get tying the franchise record of the most, I think it, and by the way, the record is the longest goal streak for a new player on the Lightning. He missed that by one game, did not get on the score sheet.
What a loser, trade him.
Right.
Hey, he almost had it. He was close to an open net. Just hit the post.
He was very close to doing it, but couldn't quite do it. Cirelli, Perbix, and Gage, who I still can't say his last name, but Gonclaves is the one, your goal scorers for this game. Congratulations to Gage on his first NHL goal in this game, by the way. Beautiful shot. A lot of the guys who have scored their first goals, I think, have done it on some really nice plays. But he gets a nice goal there at the end to get him his first a game that, you know, guys, I felt like the Lightning controlled for a majority of it. You know, Blues do get one eventually, but pretty solid, easy 60 minutes where they get a nice win.
I was at that game, and I can tell you, first of all, Vasilevskiy was fantastic in that game. Like, some of the saves he made were just purely incredible. Like, that's one of those games where you can tell he's in his zone. He's feeling it. And he, you know, there were a couple times, like, you know, the Blues looked like, you know, they can make it a game, but he single-handedly kept that from happening. So he was the best player in that. But if the real thing I want to talk about is Gage, because if you guys would excuse me, I'd like to be a bit of a fanboy here. I'm a huge fan of Gage. I remember when we drafted him, because, you know, big hockey nerd, and I'm like, all right, we don't have a first pick. Who's the first guy we're going to get? We drafted him, and I've followed his career ever since. Because, of course, I also watched the Crunch. I loved watching him down there. He killed it. He was an all-star with them last year. I was lucky enough. I went up to Syracuse one time to watch him play, got to meet him after the game. And then a little bit later, I was actually lucky enough to interview him at the prospect development camp. So I've been rooting for that guy forever. And to see him finally get to score his goal, you know, with an assist from Kucherov, a guy he said he's looked up to and tried to imitate his game. I mean, that was awesome. I was so happy I got to see that live.
It's got to be cool to have your first one be a pass from Kucherov, and then you bury it, so you feel like that, Kucherov can trust you, you know, that you didn't let him down. He didn't waste the pass. That's got to be a huge moment. I can only imagine how high he was on the goal on that moment. You brought up Vasi as well. It should be noted that the Lightning had 18 shots on goal versus 32 for the Blues. That's it's a pretty big differential, and Vasi did have to come up big in order to keep him in that game. And actually, the Blues were playing pretty well defensively, as they had 15 block shots, which is a pretty solid number also.
Isn't it funny how I mentioned that it felt like an easy 60 minutes, but it's just because Vasilevskiy is so good that you don't even notice all the shots being taken because he's able to stop so many of them. You're right. He was fantastic in that game and not a great number to give up on shots, but Vasilevskiy came through for the Bolts in that game. By the way, Gage said in his press conference, I believe, that he didn't even know he scored. He took that shot, took a turn off to the left, and it wasn't until he saw McDonough coming over with a big smile on his face that he realized he had scored his first NHL goal.
You can see on the replay, he shoots and immediately curls back up ice. And it was pretty, too. It was right under the bar.
He just assumed that it would get stopped or he'd miss or something. I don't know. That's pretty funny. But good
for him. It took like a second for people in the arena to react because we just didn't know what happened. And it took a while for us to process, oh, he just scored that. And what's even more funny, I watched the highlights with Mishkin and Esposito giving commentary. And Esposito was just like, oh, you think this kid would be happier? He just scored his first goal. I don't know why he's not reacting.
He probably expects him to still be looking at the play.
Yeah, probably true.
You know what? It created a fun moment for him in his first NHL goal, one he'll remember forever. And hopefully many more to come for him. But hey, Lightning playing good, looking good, feeling good. It's been really nice to see them do that over the last couple of games. They've been playing really well, and they're off to a good little streak here. Still got a ton of games in hand because the NHL scheduling is doing its thing for whatever reason. Although I do like, I should mention this too, that the Lightning played the Panthers back-to-back, the home and home right before the break. I think those are fun. They've been doing that a little more over the last couple of years where you have those little mini series against teams. Lightning had one against the Devils a couple years back. I think it was maybe 2 years ago. Those are fun. I think it's cool to see that in the middle of the season. So it is nice, but Lightning looking good and feeling good. Not quite as good as you would be if you headed over to shop.rblarsports.com to get your awesome team-inspired merch. Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdies, you name it, we got it. Be sure to head over there to check them out. Don't forget, you guys with us here, you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Links, as always, are in the description, so be sure to go check that out. If you buy a shirt, it really helps us out, and we do appreciate it. And you get a cool shirt, so it's worth it. No question, in my opinion. But all right, let's get to our three stars of the week. You know, a lot of good guys to pick from in this one. We kind of picked it late because we included the Panthers game in this one, of course, as well. But for our number three star, you look at his stats for the week, and they're pretty darn good because he only played in one game, but it was an excellent, excellent game. And our number three star of the week is, of course, Jonas Johansson. So Johansson gets number three star of the week. He gets the shutout against the Florida Panthers. I will say we kind of threw him in here too because if you really get it just off the week, it's almost impossible to get him in here because he only plays basically one game a month. And he's been playing well over his last couple of games, so he gets the third star of the week, guys.
One game a month, and it better be a damn good game in order to get on this list. And I got to say, against a team that's leading the division, I don't have the stats pulled up. Are they leading the league in points right now? No, not quite leading the league, but still leading the division. That was an incredible shutout, especially an answer back game against a divisional rival. I'm really happy for him, especially because there were so many doubts and calls for his head, and he came back and answered. And not all the saves that he made were just standard shots. He really went out there and earned that win.
I don't want to hear anyone saying that this is a pity entry. Okay, this man earned the spot. All right. Maybe his only performance, but like you said, it's a damn good one, okay? Shutout against one of the best offensive teams on the road after a crushing loss. You can't ask for any better. This man earned the spot, and I'm just happy to see it. Hopefully we can see a few more good performances when he's back in net.
Yeah, he's been great over his last couple of games, so it's definitely well-deserved. Listen, I was one of those people that was kind of calling for him a little bit because he struggled tremendously at the start of the season, but nice to see him kind of get back on track here. And play the way that he has. So our number two star of the week, though, is a guy that we've talked a lot about this season, mostly early on because of the craziness in the offseason. But then he has played fantastic throughout the season. He's continued to do it. Was on a great goal streak. And, of course, is Jake Guentzel. Guentzel, One goal, two assists, 3 points in the three games played. I don't think these stats have updated yet to include tonight, but a plus one in those three games. Gensel continuing to stay hot. He's been fantastic. Got his first taste of the rivalry between the Lightning and the Panthers. And I say he fit in just fine.
Yeah. Go for it, Nick.
Yeah, what else can you say, man? Man's a goal scorer. All right. We just sing his praises. I mean, I got to be honest. I had so much I wanted to say about him. And then when you went on that whole thing about him being a good replacement for Stamkos, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. What more do you want me to say? Guy puts the puck in the net. He gets you assists. He gets you points. He killed it in the Panthers series. Perfect choice for number two.
And to add to it, you know, plus minus is the most overrated stat in all of hockey. It is, but it isn't. All right. There is something to be said about the plus minus, and he was a plus two in that time, plus one tonight. So that was a really big goal that he had. And, you know, he's a Eureka. Eureka putting in our chat, Steven minus 12 Stamkos. No, this isn't about him.
I'd like to say nice about it, but I will not stand for it.
Okay, I'd like to say for the record, if the Predators are actually serious about blowing it up, I would gladly welcome that man back. I just want to put that out there.
No question. I'm not going to be tough to do, but yeah.
Guys, focus. We're talking about Jake, the current goal scorer, Gensel on the team, and he's been playing so well and handling his role, which is a major role on this team. And I think that, you know, you're really going to start to see a lot of number 59 jersey sales going through the roof after he's had, you know, I feel like for the fan base, he really had to earn his keep. And he's been doing it, and he played terrific tonight, and he just continues to impress.
I do have the updated stats because they did populate here for me. Two goals, two assists in four games played for 4 points and was a plus two. So, yeah, well-deserved. We might have to start calling this the Jake Gensel three starts of the week because he's been on here that many times. It's how good he has been. So very well-deserved. Joe, you mentioned the jersey sales might be spiking for him. I definitely agree. They won't be happening in the arena, though, because, you know, no one wants to buy that stupid ad on that jersey. Anyway, I haven't mentioned that in a while. for our number one star of the week, this is a guy who is not typically on this list very often, but he's been fantastic this week. Two goals, three assists for 5 points, and was a plus three. He can do it all, guys. It's Nick Paul who gets the first star of the week. He has been fantastic. He was also featured in a video done by the Lightning, by the way. I believe it's on their YouTube page now. Go check it out, where Nick Paul was Santa Claus. He did gag gifts for all of his teammates. It's hilarious.
Do yourself. He was Saint Nick.
Yes, Saint Nick. It's really, really funny. So, but Nick Paul gets the first star of the week.
My fellow Nick, he's making us Knicks proud. That's all else. But yeah, man, what a goal scorer. One of the most underrated players in the league, along with Braden Hagel. Want to give him a shout out, in my opinion. He's fun to watch, man. Nothing else more than needs to be said.
And I mean, he really has a funny way of playing his game where, you know, I'm watching the replay right now of his assist for the power play goal. He's so incredibly physical and hard to beat off the puck. I think it was, I was trying to see which goal it was where maybe it wasn't a goal, but he had somebody on his back, like literally he bodied him out of the way and made his way across the crease. And I think it was actually saved by the goalie. I think that may have been last night, as a matter of fact, but he's such a physical player that he's extremely hard to defend when he's getting the opportunities to put the puck in. And, you know, it's been said that he's got a great shot. He definitely does, but it's that physical presence that allows him to have a lot of those opportunities by being able to just utilize his size. And there's some players that can be big but don't use their size well. He's definitely one of them that plays even bigger than his stature, and I love what he did this week. So I'm really glad to see him up there as the number one star.
Very well deserved. I do quickly want to mention one of the gag gifts that he got, because I think it's really funny, was Sorelli, and he gave Sorelli a helmet with a cup on the front of it to protect his nose. Again, I mention this because I highly recommend you go check it out. There are a lot of funny stuff in there, and the player got a kick out of it for sure. But Johansson, Gensel, and Paul are your three stars of the week. Let us know in the comments down below. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Who would you have had to have in there? We'd love to hear what you guys have to think. Those are our three stars. Now, quickly looking ahead here for the Lightning, as mentioned, it is now the Christmas slash holiday break here for the next 4 days. Their next game will be against the New York Rangers on Saturday, the 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then they will have that's the first half of a back-to-back where they'll take on the Montreal Canadiens on December 29th at 5 p.m. Eastern. So that game a little bit earlier. I always laugh when I see the Canadiens at this time of year because I get flashbacks to the most hilarious moment in Lightning history, in my opinion, where the Lightning played the Canadiens. I think it was on New Year's. And we had that goal scored when there was supposed to be a whistle stoppage. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
And yeah, I was there.
The fans proceeded to boo for an entire period and a half. I always get a kick out of that, thinking of the Canadians. But those are your two games for your back-to-back, and then we'll be back here for another episode on Monday. But, you know, Rangers not playing well right now. Canadians really haven't been a team lately that have been super good. So on paper, two games you hope that the Lightning can pull off a nice win on, but you never underestimate teams on a back-to-back.
They really need these wins. They right now have 4 games in hand on the Panthers, and they're down by 6 points. So there is a potential to start catching up and take the divisional lead. And, you know, I feel like I say this probably once a month, if not every other episode. If you look at the goal differential, it gives you a really good idea of which teams are pretenders and which ones are the real deal. And right now the goal differential for the Lightning is by far the best in the division. We should be ranked a lot higher. We're having trouble closing out teams earlier in the season. So, look, they're two lower-level teams. Let's get the job done. And, you know, it's actually kind of surprising not playing the Rangers like on New Year's. I feel like that's been a thing for the past couple of – or New Year's Eve. I feel like it's been a thing for the past couple of years.
I think it has, actually, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more concerned with the Rangers because I just feel like we always play them tough no matter what happens. But I agree. They're two easy teams. One of them just traded Kaapo Kakko. I don't know what's going on with all their trades. Not to mention they just traded their captain for the third straight time. Strange team the Rangers are right now. But that's a team we should beat. And then, unfortunately, we got to see our old friend Marty St. Louis, and we're going to have to take on his team again. That's a team that's going through their struggles. I mean, we've had a look. If you look at the Lightning's schedule, it's been pretty tough. Looks like it's going to start to let up now. We got to take advantage of that and crawl our way up in the rankings, like you said.
The Lightning have a tendency to struggle against bad teams. We talked about this in one of the earlier podcasts. I remember that their record is not good against the teams that they should beat. So hopefully they can take care of business this time around. Because you don't want to play down to your competition. I will mention with the games in hand situation, the Lightning will make up one game against the Panthers during this back-to-back because the Panthers also play on one of the nights the Lightning will be playing. So I don't know when on earth the Lightning will be making up some of these games because they're very behind against a lot of these teams. Florida, they're, as you mentioned, Joe, they're behind 4 games. Toronto, 3. Boston, they're behind 4 games. So every team that's in front of them, they can pass with their games in hand. By the way, New Jersey's played 37. The Lightning played 32. So they got games in hand here. They should have them for a while. I don't know when those are getting made up, probably slowly over the course of the rest of the season. But big games nonetheless.
I do want to say that these are both home games for the Lightning, and the Canadiens are 4-10 on the road, and the Rangers are about 500. They're 9-8 on the road, but the Lightning have been doing pretty well. They're 10-5-1. So hopefully they continue the momentum from this game, even though it's, you know, 4 days later, and get those 4 points that they really need.
This is a home back-to-back as well, so that does help out the Lightning a little bit, not having to travel when playing these types of games. So, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much to everybody who tuned in with us here live. If you're new here, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Hopefully, we'll see you back next week. If you've already been coming back, thank you guys for hanging out with us once again. Don't forget to hit that like button, share button, ring that bell for notifications, all of that fun stuff. You can follow us.
Speaking of bells, have a Merry Christmas, guys.
Absolutely.
Hope those jingle bells be ringing, and you guys have a great holiday.
We'll talk to you guys in the next one. And go Bulls.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.